calling to hearing. It is the animal control hearings for Wednesday, June 12, 2019. It's 9:30. We're at the Intercoastal Room in Palm Coast City Hall. My name is Louis Guzman. I'm the hearing officer. Calling these hearings to order. First item on the agenda is I would ask everybody in the audience to please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance. Okay, before we move on to the next item in the agenda, advising the audience that this is a public hearing. It's open to the public. This is a quasi-judicial hearing, and what that means is that we do not apply formal rules of evidence like you would see in a courtroom. However, we do observe fundamental due process, which that means is that everyone will get a chance to speak, and I will ensure that everyone has the opportunity to enter the evidence they want to enter in this hearing. So a couple of things to note in that regard. Everything that we are saying is being recorded and may be transcribed at a later date. And along those lines, when you speak, you're going to have to identify yourself. Imagine that one day someone might be reading a transcript of this hearing. They're not going to understand by reading it who you are, what you're talking about. So if there's a photograph or something you want to describe, you're not just describing it for me sitting in front of you or for anybody else in the audience, but you're describing it for someone who's not sitting here and maybe reading it at a different time and date. When you speak, you're going to speak in the microphone, identify yourself, and give us an address, whether it's a business address, a personal address, just some extra information so we can identify who you are for the record. Also along those lines, all the testimony here will be under oath. So the next item on the agenda is I'm going to ask everyone who may be speaking today to please stand and raise your right hand. You might be providing testimony. I just need you to stand and raise your right hand. Okay. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. All right. The next item on the agenda is actually the approval of the hearing minutes for June 4th, 2019, those animal control hearings. I have reviewed those minutes, and I will approve those. Right, and the next item on the agenda is case number 2019-040079, City of Palm Coast versus Richard Wilson and Ashley Carreau of 13 Celine Place regarding Lola. Along the lines I was telling you about, observing fundamental due process, since it's the city making the allegation and making the citation, I'm going to ask the city to make their presentation first. Please proceed.
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honor. My name is Jennifer Nix. I'm legal counsel for the City of Palm Coast. We're here today by request of the current owners of Lola for a hearing to appeal the city's initial determination classifying Lola as a dangerous dog. Lola is owned by Richard Wilson and Ashley Caro. This hearing timely was scheduled in accordance with the appellate process outlined in Chapter 767 of the Florida statutes, as well as Section 840 of the City Code. And as the initial determination is generally referred to as being appealed, the city considers that both the classification and the penalties or requirements are both being addressed and appealed today. Following an investigation and an animal control officer submitting an affidavit requesting that Lola be classified as a dangerous dog, the city found sufficient cause to classify Lola as such based upon both the city code and state law. The affidavits, photos, medical record, and testimony to be provided today by the victim will show that the city's initial determination classifying Lola as a dangerous dog should be upheld because Lola meets the city codes and the state law's definition of a dangerous dog. The evidence will show that a mail carrier was doing her job when Lola, who was not restrained or watched over in the owner's front yard, though unprovoked, attacked and bit the mail carrier multiple times, causing disfiguring lacerations that required sutures. There's no statutory defense for Lola not to be classified as a dangerous dog. The evidence will show that she's not a hunting dog or a law enforcement police dog, which in certain circumstances with those are, of course, exempt from the classification. The state statute 767.12 subsection 2 also provides that a dog may not be declared dangerous if the threat, injury, or damage was sustained by a person who at the time was unlawfully on the property or who, while lawfully on the property, was tormenting, abusing, or assaulting the dog or its owner or a family member. The evidence will show that's not the case, then they're not able to have that defense. As well as the dog was not protecting or defending a human being in the immediate vicinity from some kind of unjustified attack or assault. The evidence will show that Lola meets the statutory and city code definitions of dangerous dog, and the city code closely mirrors the state statutes, Chapter 767. And I do have a courtesy copy that I'll be asking to move into evidence for your reference. Just to note that the dangerous dog definition will be met because the city's asserting that Lola has, as noted in subsection 1 of 767.12, aggressively bitten, attacked, or endangered, or has inflicted a severe injury on a human being on public or private property. The evidence will show that this happened and that a severe injury resulted, that there were multiple bites and lacerations which required sutures. The evidence will also show that this was an unprovoked attack and that the victim was conducting themselves lawfully and peacefully at the time that they were attacked by the dog. The initial determination provided for the appropriate penalties in paragraph 12, and the city is asking that all of the penalties as well as the classification be upheld. This was made, of course, after the city's investigation, and the city did not order that the animal be euthanized, although that's one option under the statutes and the city code in these situations. So I just want to reiterate that the city is asking to have the classification and the requirements upheld, which do not include euthanizing a dog. Therefore, the city respectfully requests that you uphold the classification of dangerous dog and the proposed penalties as provided for in the initial determinations based upon the record, affidavits, and testimony, the city code, and chapter 767 of the Florida statutes. I don't know if you wanted the owner to give a brief opening or if you just wanted to have us go on with presentation of the case.
Let's go on with the presentation of the case. I'm assuming, let me ask you, are you asking me to take judicial notice of the initial determination as well? And all the evidence that's attached to it?
Yes, Your Honor. Okay. And it is part of the evidence packet, which I'll bring up to you shortly, as well as give a copy to the owner. Thank you. With that, may I approach with marked exhibits?
Yes.
Okay, I have a copy for the owner as well. There's an index that kind of helps everybody to get through these because it's a lot of paperwork. This is the exact same thing that I'm giving the special magistrate. So this is an index here, and then everything's in the order of it. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and Your Honor, I would ask that the city exhibits numbers 1 through 11 be moved into the record.
Okay, the owners, Mr. Wilson and Ms. Caro, have you had an opportunity to review the packet that the city has presented to you?
Yes,
the one. I want to make sure, number one, that you've had a chance to review it, and they're asking me to consider all of this as evidence. If you have
the same thing as the certified letter that we received.
Well, let's hold on. Listen to my question. Okay. So the packet that the city attorney just gave to you, she's asking that I consider that as evidence. If you have an objection to me considering this as evidence, I need to know.
No.
Okay. So could you go ahead, could you step to the microphone and just state that for the record for me, please?
Sure.
Okay. Remember what I said earlier, you just need to identify yourself and give me, you know, an address or something's, you know, identifying information, and let me know if you have an objection.
Sure. My name is Richard Wilson. I am the owner of Lola, and I do not object to the paperwork.
Okay. All right, so without objection, it's moved into evidence. You can go ahead and please proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would like to call Stephanie Hawkins, an animal control officer, as the first witness. Is it okay if we have the witness at the podium and I sit here?
Yes, that's fine. However, again, we're not going by strict rules of evidence like you would see in a courtroom. So, Ms. Nix, you may inquire of the witness, but if the witness just wants to present her testimony, that's fine. And Mr. Wilson and Ms. Corot, if you would like to ask questions of the witness, you can ask questions as well. All right, so I'll give you that opportunity, but I want to make sure everyone has an opportunity to both make their presentation and critique that presentation. So, Ms. Nix, please proceed.
Thank you. Could you please state your name and position with the city?
Stephanie Hawkins, Animal Control Officer for the City of Palm Coast.
Okay, thank you. And did you investigate this matter?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and what can you tell us about the incident?
I received a email regarding a second bite case for Lola on March 30 or April 1st. The bite had occurred on the 30th, which was a Saturday. I was indicated in the email that this was the second bite for the dog. I arrived to their residence and inquired about the second bite. When I had arrived to the residence, I did have to put my foot to the front door. I did proceed with caution in regards to the previous bite that had occurred 2 weeks prior to that. With the previous bite, the victim was very similar situation to Miss Claudia as well, was another mail carrier who was arriving to the residence to deliver a package. Lola was unsecured as well then too. That victim was not very cooperative with us. We have tried multiple times to contact the victim. The victim had not returned any of our calls, any of our postings that we had posted to their property as well. I had spoken to the owners, Mr. Richard and his wife, and had informed them that due to this being the second bite with Lola in such a short period of time, I would need to take Lola and bring her to the Humane Society to do her quarantine there. As, like I said, with such a short time, the bite being a possible severe bite, and with it being in such a short time period. They were very upset initially that I was going to be taking Lola to the Humane Society to finish out her quarantine. They did understand as I explained the severity of the situation in such a short period of time. I did load Lola onto the vehicle. Mr. Wilson did help me. Lola was loaded without any incident. She did not show any signs of aggression towards me as we were loading her, and as I was bringing her to the Humane Society, she didn't show any signs of aggression. Following that, 2 days later, Ms. Caro did come to City Hall and request that Lola be brought back home to the residence, as she had stated her children were very upset that Lola was taken and placed in quarantine at the Humane Society. I discussed it with Animal Control Officer Heather Priestap and as well as Barbara Grossen as to Lola coming back home. We had discussed with Ms. Caro, the decision of Lola coming home, the requirements. We were inquiring that Lola come home, and we had decided that we were okay with Lola coming home as long as she followed certain guidelines. She did fill out an affidavit that she was willing to follow those, and she was willing to pay the quarantine fee to the Humane Society as well.
Okay, thank you. And as far as the victim in this particular bite case with Lola, did you speak with the victim?
I did. I didn't speak to the victim until 2 to 3 days later. She was not home when I first arrived. I spoke to her son.
Okay. And did you receive any documents or photos?
Yes, ma'am. I received photos of her injury. I also took my own photographs, and I also took my own photographs of her medical reports, and I received copies of her medical reports as well.
And if I showed you the medical record and photos, could you identify that they were the same photos?
Yes.
And medical record that you were given? Your Honor, I'm just going to approach the witness to show her the medical record and the photos that are in our packet here of exhibits.
Okay. Yes.
Thank you. And is this, and this is exhibit number 7, is this the medical records that you received from Rosemary Claudio?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And in exhibit 10E, which is the initial determination in the exhibits, are these pictures that you received or took from Ms. Claudio?
Yes, they are.
Okay. All right. And did you submit an affidavit requesting Lola be declared dangerous?
Yes, I did.
Okay, thank you. And just checking when we started off for the record, you did state your name and position with the city initially, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay, just checking. And in those photos, as far as the injuries go, did you see stitches in the victim's leg?
Yes, I did.
Okay, thank you. I have no further questions for Animal Control Officer Hawkins.
Hey, Mr. Nelson?
Wilson.
And Mr. Wilson. Mr. Wilson and Ms. Caro, you have the opportunity to ask questions of this witness, if you would like to do that.
No, I think
we're okay. Hearing none. All right, I do have a few questions of my own.
Mm-hmm.
There was a couple of things that were noted. Let's see. You mentioned an affidavit and the photographs, so. In the packet that's been marked into evidence, I was trying to find where those are. If you could direct me to those.
Yes, Your Honor. The affidavit that the animal control officer submitted requesting dangerous dog classification is within the initial determination, so it's Exhibit 10 and then Exhibit C therein.
So the initial determination is Exhibit 10 in the packet that you've entered into evidence, and that's Exhibit C under Exhibit 10. That's the affidavit, and that is that affidavit for the first victim?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. May I step in just to clarify?
Yeah, I was getting, because I heard some evidence about, and that was going to be a follow-up question, I heard evidence about a first victim and then evidence about a second victim. So I just need to differentiate between the two.
I think I may be able to clarify that for you, Your Honor. As far as the first bite victim, can you explain why that was not pursued as far as a dangerous dog classification?
Your Honor, the first bite victim was not pursued as a dangerous dog classification, as we had not received any correspondence from the first victim at all. So we have no pictures of his bite. We did not speak to him at all.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this then. How did the first bite victim even come to your attention?
Okay, we received the first bite victim from the health department. That victim had went to the hospital for treatment. Per his company, he needed to report the bite. So all the bites that are reported to the hospital are reported to the health department, and then are in turn reported to us.
And what was the date of that?
March 14th.
That's the date of the bite?
Yes, okay. Your Honor.
And once you received the report from the health department, what did you do?
Your Honor, that was not a case I had handled.
Okay, who was it?
That was Officer Priestap who had handled that.
I will be calling her as a witness if that helps.
Yeah, well, why don't we, since we're on the subject of the first victim, I just want to be clear on first victim, who the first victim was and the circumstances surrounding that. Okay. And then the second victim, we kind of can go in, you know, in order that way. So, Ms. Nix, can you go ahead with that then?
Okay. Sure. May I present the next witness to clarify those circumstances, Your Honor?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning.
Can you please state your name and position with the city for the record?
Officer Heather Priestap, City of Palm Coast Animal Control Officer.
Okay, thank you. And are you familiar with Lola, the dog that is the subject of this current investigation and classification?
I am, yes.
Thank you. And what can you, why? Why are you familiar with Lola?
On 3/20/19, we received information from the Department of Health stating that there was a bite to a Nelson Pearson, who is a UPS driver, and was stopped at 13th Saline when he tried to deliver a package, and the large brown hound bit him. And that information came from the ER. The ER has to report it to the health department, who then reports it to us to go investigate.
Okay, and when you investigated the matter, can you tell us about that?
On 3/20/19, myself and Casey Hagen, Officer Casey Hagen, went out to the property. I believe the owner, Ashley, was outside, or we made noise for her to come out. I'm not sure. I can't remember exactly how it happened, but she did come out to the front yard. We were standing in the swale area, and we started to speak to Ashley about the bite, and I did see movement out of the corner of my eye. Lola was up at the top of the driveway, and we all kind of went to each other to talk, to be able to talk to each other. Casey and I were standing in the swale area, kind of took a step forward. Ashley came forward, and Lola was standing in the driveway staring at us. After a couple of seconds, Lola came running down the driveway, barking and growling. To us, it seemed like she wanted to attack us. We took a few steps back. That's when Ashley grabbed Lola. She said, "It's okay, the lion is here." We weren't sure where the line for the electric fence was, so we took a step back, and Ashley did grab Lola, took her inside, and put her in a crate. Then we put Lola on a 10-day home quarantine.
Thank you. And you mentioned an electric fence, so the yard has an electric fence, which is how they keep Lola from going out of the yard, at least?
Or
how
it they does, yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you. And was there's no other wooden fence or something restraining the dog in the yard otherwise?
No, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. And you said that the victim in that bite case, were they not cooperating with returning phone calls or
that
submitting
anything?
That is correct.
Anything? On 3/20, I think it was 3/20, I posted the property with an affidavit, my card, and a note to give us a call about the bite case. We did also call the phone numbers that were provided for us to us from the victim through the hospital, and he did not return any of our calls. He was a UPS driver. Somebody had said that it's possible that UPS tells them not to call us back. I don't know.
Okay. Had the victim called you back in that situation, would you have pursued the first bite case?
It would depend on the severity of his wounds. We didn't receive that information from the health department. We did put Lola on a 10-day home quarantine because it was documented as a bite that broke skin, because he went to the ER. They were able to say that, yes, it broke skin, it was a bite. Mm-hmm. So she was put on a 10-day home quarantine. Ashley did tell us that she had gone on a bike ride that morning, left the house open, and that the UPS guy is familiar with Lola, and that he knows not to go onto the property. He usually beeps, and she comes out to get the package, or he leaves it by the mailbox.
Okay. Thank you, and I have no other questions for Animal Control Officer Priestap.
Hey, Mr. Wilson or Ms. Caro, do you have any questions for this witness?
No, I do not.
Okay, hearing none. Ms. Nix, do you want to call up Officer Hawkins as to the second victim? Because I believe she had begun, or at least initially provided or testimony with regard to the second victim. So I just want to be clear that, you know, we were just talking about the first victim, so let's make sure we're talking about the second victim, if there's anything else that you want to add to that.
Sure. I'll just quickly hit a couple highlights. Thank you. And can you identify yourself again?
Stephanie Hawkins, Animal Control Officer for the City of Palm Coast.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to kind of, for the purposes of a timeline then, since we'd heard about the first victim, as far as the second victim goes. In your investigation, to kind of hit the highlights of the statutes and city code, if anything, the information that you had received from the victim, had they informed you about being attacked or bitten multiple times?
Yes.
Okay, and those medical records that I had shown you, did they give the reason for the victim's visit to the hospital?
Yes, it did indicate it was a dog bite.
Okay, and did the record, or just to show you the record, have it indicated to you, if I may approach?
Yes.
And at least one of the visits, can you tell us what the hospital record had indicated they were there for?
One of the visits, the hospital records had indicated that they were there for suture removal.
And I will be calling the bite victim as a witness, so I think that may clarify for the court other circumstances of that date of the bite.
Okay. Do you have any more inquiry of this witness?
Not of this witness, Your Honor.
Mr. Wilson, Ms. Caro, would you like to ask this witness any other questions? Any questions? Okay. All right. Hearing none. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Ms. Nix, you can proceed with the city's presentation.
Thank you. I would like to call, Mr. Richard Wilson, please, to ask you some questions, sir,
sure.
As the owner of the dog. Thank you. Good morning. Can you please state your name and address for the record?
Yeah, my name is Richard Wilson. I live at 13 Celine Place, and I'm the owner of Lolo.
Okay, thank you. And just to identify Lola as his dog, may I approach the witness, Your Honor, with a picture of Lola?
Yes.
That's attached as an exhibit. Okay, this is exhibit 10A, so it's the initial determination, the first exhibit A there too. Is this your dog, Lola?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
thank
it is.
You very much. And can you kind of just tell us what happened from, were you home the day that the dog bit the victim, Ms. Claudio? The postal worker, yes.
Yes, I was there. I was actually in the shower at the time of it. I threw some board shorts on and I, you know, ran out as soon as I heard what was going on. I did, you know, go to her aid as much as I could. I did inform her, yeah, it looks pretty bad. I went inside, got some hydrogen peroxide and some things to help clean it up, give her some bandages, things of that nature, just to, you know, cover it up, wrapped her leg for her, gave her my phone number, said she needs anything, I will be more than happy to take care of any, you know, fees, anything that she needs to, you know, better, you know, help the situation. And that's about it.
Okay. So you said that you were inside in the shower. What did you hear? How did you know to come outside?
Well, my fiance was dealing with our children, and she, you know, obviously had juggling two babies and couldn't make it out. So she came yelling to me to come out and, you know, try to, you know, get the dog back inside and everything. By then, she was already at the mail truck by the time I was able to get out and get there.
Okay. So were you guys aware that there was a problem with the dog outside?
Yeah, we heard some screaming and yelling, yes. And I guess she glanced out the door and she was, you know, had a couple babies naked, so she couldn't make it outside. So, but I did come out as soon as possible. I jumped out of the shower, threw on some bathing suit, and then came right out.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So with having Lola outside in the front yard, we've heard testimony that there's an electric fence.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
there's
an
electric fence that would only allow her to, you know, go down the front yard about halfway at that time. Now we've, you know, moved it to where she cannot get in the front yard at all. It's all in the backyard. Oops, sorry. So it's completely, she's segregated to the backyard now.
Okay.
And so she's more likely an inside dog now. We just keep her completely inside, let her out, go to the bathroom, she's back in.
Okay.
So since all this has happened.
Okay. So did you say the electric fence was moved to the backyard?
Yes.
Okay. Do you guys do you or do you not have a regular, say, picket fence or wooden fence or vinyl fence?
No, we have a fence on the one side, but it doesn't actually stop her from getting around it. It's
okay.
Just kind of just like some false fences that hide trash cans and things.
That's okay. So not an enclosed
not
backyard,
completely
if you will.
Enclosed, no.
Okay, thank you. And and I know that you've heard some testimony as to this, but I need to ask you questions too about,
sure.
Has Lola bit anyone in the past?
She has not, no. I mean, other than the UPS driver and her, no, she has not shown any signs of aggression. She's a very sweet dog. We got her from a guy down in Titusville, I believe it was. And I mean, all of her brothers and sisters, it was a group of about 6 bloodhounds. Mm-hmm. And they're all police dogs, service dogs, everything. So it's not like it's a crazy breed or anything like that. They're all very, very well-known dogs. You know, they're members of the police community down wherever they're from. He sends us pictures all the time where, you know, she's a very sweet dog. She has, I guess she just, as Ms. Hopkins always, you know, told us that she's just territorial. She doesn't, you know, like people on her property, and she feels like she's protecting us. And then in a sense, you know, my wife was pregnant at the time when we did receive the dog, and that was kind of the idea of having a dog around to protect a family when I'm not home, because I've, you know, worked quite a bit.
Okay. And just to clarify, because you had mentioned that some bloodhounds are law enforcement dogs, is Lola a law enforcement dog?
No, she is not. No, she just some of her brothers and sisters are, that's it.
Okay. And is she a hunting dog?
We don't use her for hunting, no.
Okay.
I mean, she could be, I guess, if you want. I mean, it's a hound, so.
Okay. But that's not how you utilize
no,
the dog.
No, we usually just as a house dog.
Okay, thank you. And let's see. When you came outside to see Miss Claudio, who you mentioned was at the truck, the postal
mm-hmm.
vehicle, I imagine you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Was she hurt? What did you see?
She was definitely shooken up. I mean, obviously, yeah, there was blood, you know, everywhere. She was trying to, you know, stop it. Definitely, she was, in some pain. Definitely.
Okay.
You know, I tried to do anything I could to try to help clean her up and help her out.
Okay.
And told her, yes, you probably looks like you do need stitches, and I told her that you should go get some medical attention immediately.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Okay, and that's actually the only questions I had for Mr. Wilson.
Okay.
Thank
all right, thank you. Ms. Nex, you can continue with your presentation.
Okay, thank you. My next witness that I would like to call is Rosemary Claudio. Thank
you. My name's Rosemary Claudio. I work for USPS of Palm Coast, a mail carrier.
Ms. Claudio, were you working on, I believe the incident date was March 31st, 2019?
Yes.
Okay. And where were you and what were you doing? And
I went to help another carrier. I grabbed all her packages from her. And it was like the third house I stopped at was 13 Celine Place.
Okay. And is 13 Celine Place where the bite occurred and where the dog resides?
Yes, that's where the incident happened.
Okay, thank you. And can you tell us about what you encountered when you arrived and sort of just tell us the story of what happened at that
point? Yes, I pulled up to the house, I grabbed the package. I was halfway up the driveway in the yard before I even seen the dog. And I seen the dog, it was in over to the left in the front yard. And I kind of stopped. She didn't growl, didn't bark or anything. She just walked up to me. So I stopped. I thought she was going to sniff my leg like other dogs do, and she just started biting my leg. And I was yelling and, you know, hey, stop, stop. It stopped for a second, bit my leg again. I had their box in my hand. I believe I dropped it on the dog to try and get away from the dog. By then, we were up in front of their vehicles, and it stopped, I think, after I dropped the box, and I started trying to back away. It then was, like, growling, trying to come at me. I was trying to kick it, do anything to keep it away from me. And I ended up walking backwards, got back in the truck, closed the door, and started laying on the horn to get their attention because their front door was open, like their main door was open, but the screen door was closed. And so I lay there, sat there laying on the horn, and then he came out.
By he, do you mean Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So just to clarify, was the dog restrained in any way that you could tell?
No, it was on a leash or nothing, no.
Okay. And were you conducting yourself lawfully and peacefully coming up the driveway?
Yes, I was just walking up with a package in my hand.
Okay, thank you. Did you do anything to provoke the dog?
No.
Okay. Were you tormenting, abusing, or assaulting the dog or its owner?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Was the dog protecting or defending any human being within the immediate vicinity?
No, no one was outside.
Okay. And to finish that question, actually, from an unjustified attack or an assault to where it would be the dog defending someone that's getting
beaten. Yeah, no, no one was outside at all.
Okay. And can you tell us about the injuries that you sustained from the dog bites?
I had it ripped open the front on my left leg, the front part of my calf. I had bite marks on the side, and then there's two gashes in the back of my leg as well.
Okay. So you've testified, and just to confirm, that the dog bit you multiple times?
Yes.
Okay, and that when, you know, it attacked you in an unprovoked manner?
Yes.
And did you have, what kind of medical attention did you receive?
Well, Mr. Wilson did come out, and he helped me. We cleaned it up, and he wrapped it up for me. I called the mail carrier that I was taking her boxes, and we switched trucks, and I ended up going to the hospital. And they had to give me loose stitches in the front, and they didn't stitch any of the rest because it's a dog bite, and they didn't want bacteria closed in my body. So.
Okay, but you did receive stitches?
Yes, okay. On the front.
And if I may approach, I was just going to show you the medical record and the pictures, if I could have you verify that these are the medical records that were yours, and I'm showing the witness Exhibit number 7, which is the victim's medical record.
Yes.
And this is from Advent Health Centricare. And is this your medical record?
Yes.
Okay. And to note, it states that the dog bite is the reason for your visit, and that you were there on that particular day for suture removals.
Yes, on that day.
Okay. Thank you. Oh, wait. Photos of your leg.
Okay.
Well, a few photos, actually. I'm going to show Ms. Claudio, the photograph of Lola, which is 10A, which is the initial determination, and the photo of the dog.
Okay, yes.
Is this Lola?
Yeah.
Okay. And if I could show you these pictures, which are 10E, which are the photos of the bite victim's injury.
That's the back of my leg.
All right, so the first photo that she's looking at here.
That's back.
Is the back of her leg. She's sitting. The second photo where you can see
the
tattoo.
That's the front of my leg, where I got stitches. There are sutures.
Okay, the third photo.
That's also the back of my leg. That's the same one.
That's the third photograph where you
see two open wounds. And the fourth photo here, where you can see...
That's the side of my left leg.
Okay, and it's got a tattoo you can see on the left part of the photo, and then multiple open wounds. And then here's a photo which has your sneaker in this photo.
That's at the hospital. That's the front part of my leg where I got stitches.
Okay. And then, and then the final photo here of the exhibit, is this your leg?
Yes, that's the front of my leg with my stitches.
Okay, so those are stitches in your leg. Let's see, Mr. Wilson had testified that he came outside, and you said that you just said that you had sat in your postal truck and kind of laid on the horn.
Yes.
When he came out, did he help you, and did he say anything to you?
Yes. He ran in and grabbed paper towel and peroxide, some Band-Aids. When he seen it, then he went and got ACE bandage, and he helped me wrap it up, and he told me that I definitely need to go get stitches, that it looks pretty bad.
And you, in fact, went to the hospital and received stitches?
Yes. Before I left, he came out and gave me the shot records as well.
Okay,
for his dog.
Okay, I have no further questions for this witness, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Wilson or Ms. Caro, do you have any questions of this witness?
Could we get him on the microphone?
Okay, yeah, you're going to have to speak into the microphone so we can make... Yeah, because... I know it's a little awkward, I understand. It's just that everything is being recorded and could one day be printed out. So you need to speak in the microphone, tell us, say your question, and then she'll answer it.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to, you know, so we did have the Beware of Dog sign and a no trespassing... private property, no trespassing, and says leave packages at mailbox, mounted on her mailbox.
Okay, so, sir, let me, okay, first, if you have a question for the witness, you can go ahead and ask that. If you have documentary evidence, like a photograph,
sure,
then we need to have a printout of that. You need to show it to the city before you show it to me, and certainly before you show it to the witness. You can ask her a question about that, but if you have a photograph that you want to show her, I want to make sure you have the opportunity. If there's a photograph, like I see you handling your phone.
Yeah, there's a photograph.
Okay, so if you want to show the witness that, you're welcome to. What we're going to have to do is we're going to have to figure out a way for the city to print that out, so that way we could show it and make it part of the record. Do you understand? So if that's something you would like to do, we can try to do that. We can take a break and try to do that.
It's okay. Don't worry about it.
Are you sure? I want to make sure you...
I'll just forget about it. It's not a big deal.
Okay. I want to make sure you have plenty of opportunity to ask. I'll probably ask you again just to be on the safe side. Do you have any other questions?
No.
Do you have any questions for this witness at all?
Do not.
Okay.
Can I answer that question?
Ms. Nix?
I don't have any.
Hold on. So, Mr. Wilson had begun a question, but it sounds like he's withdrawing it. The witness has indicated she wants to answer the question anyway. I leave it to you to your witness. You tell me what you would like to do with that question.
I would like to ask her a follow-up question.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, all right, please, go ahead. Thank you. Mr. Wilson had begun to mention something about a sign, Ms. Claudio, but I just wanted to ask if you saw that.
At the time that it happened, there was no sign there on his mailbox. When the other girl that I grabbed her packages, we came, she switched trucks. She said, why didn't you put it in their mailbox? They have a big mailbox. I looked at the mailbox, and there was no sign there. But the box is too big to go in the mailbox anyways.
Okay.
That's why I had to take it to the door.
Okay. And is that
kind of standard of what you would do when a box doesn't fit in a mailbox?
Yeah, just take it to the front door.
Okay, thank you. Okay, now I have no further questions, Your Honor. Okay.
Mr. Wilson, again, or Ms. Kiro, you're both owners of Lola, so, or at least, you know, the claim is that you're owners, both owners of Lola. Any questions of this witness? This, I want to give you plenty of opportunity to say your piece and ask any questions. Okay, hearing none. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Nix?
City has no further witnesses, Your Honor. Okay.
Do you have any other exhibits? Anything else to, any other evidence? I'll ask you for a closing a little bit, you know, later, but.
Got you. Thank you, Your Honor. I do not have any additional evidence or testimony to provide, though I may, of course, want to ask Mr. Wilson a few questions if he's presenting his case.
Right. Okay. All right, Mr. Wilson, the city has presented their case. Now it's your opportunity, and Ms. Caro, your opportunity to present your side of things. Okay, ma'am, just speak into the microphone, identify yourself, and your address, and tell me what you would like to say.
My name is Ashley Crow. I reside at 13 Sling Place and am the owner of Lola. Really, what we want to do with her, is, you know, we feel like we've taken all the measures that we need to make sure that this never happens again. She's now an inside dog, is only taken outside on a leash when she has to go to the bathroom. We got a new screen door because Stephanie mentioned keeping her foot at the door, so that's taken care of. We don't want her to be deemed dangerous because, honestly, our homeowner's insurance is going to be, if they even cover us, you know, outrageous. And we just kind of want to take care of this ourselves and keep her an inside dog and not allow this to ever happen.
Anything else? Oh, Mr. Wilson, I'll ask you if you want an opportunity to speak as well, but we're going to take turns, okay?
No problem.
So anything else, Ms. Caro? Am I pronouncing that correct? Ms. Caro?
Caro.
Mm-hmm. Caro, okay.
My other idea was to bring her back to the breeder that we bought her from. I contacted him, and he's okay with that. He lives on 50 acres out in Titusville, and basically she would just be out of the county, and that wouldn't be a problem anymore, and she would be along with other animals, which I think might be better for her in the long run. Her family. But I don't want her to be deemed dangerous and then him have to deal with the homeowners, so she heard the homeowners insurance problems that we're gonna have to deal with, so obviously getting rid of her.
I just want to ask, and I want to make sure I'm understanding. So your idea or one thought that you're testifying to, or at least that you and your fiancé are considering, or Mr. Wilson are considering, is relinquishing ownership?
And giving her back to the breeder that we bought her from, yes.
Okay,
sir.
Who is that person? What's that name?
CW.
Okay.
Is it CW?
Yeah, CW.
Okay, where?
He's down in Titusville.
Is that would that be considered a relinquishment of ownership so that this CW person would then own, as far as you know, would then own Lola?
Yes.
I mean, she wouldn't reside at your place. You wouldn't have any ownership.
She would not be our dog anymore.
Okay. Ms. Nix, so now Ms. Nix has the opportunity to ask you questions.
Okay.
So
let's see. Good morning, Ms. Crow.
Good morning.
Were you aware of the first bite that you've heard testimony about today?
Yes. The UPS man?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And the dog was in the front yard with an electric fence at that time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And were you aware of the second bite by
Lola?
Yes,
ma'am.
Okay. And the dog was again in an electric fence at that time?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. really don't have any further questions.
Okay. Ms. Crow, if I were to take you up on your offer to relinquish ownership of Lola, how much time do you need to do that?
Probably, what's today, Wednesday? This weekend, we could do it.
Okay.
I mean, the only problem is just we both work, and it's about an hour and a half away, I think, so we need a little bit of time to drive down and back.
Okay. All right, thank you, ma'am. Mr. Wilson, I want to make sure you have plenty of opportunity to say anything that you'd like to say. Like I said, so it's important, you know, that we observe due process, you know, that everybody gets a chance to speak. It's one of the fundamental parts of our legal system. So, and, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, force you to do anything, but I want to make sure that when you walk out of here that you felt like you had your chance to say what you wanted to say. Okay. All right. All right. Hearing none. Is there anything else from the city?
No additional evidence or testimony. Witnesses.
Okay. No. Nothing in rebuttal.
Well, we would like to have a brief closing, and I could.
Well, yes. I mean, rebuttal. Any redirect or rebuttal evidence.
Okay.
All right. So, now, Mr. Wilson, Ms. Caro, we've closed out the evidence. So now what we're going to do is give the city and give you a chance to kind of make an argument about why, you know, the city's going to make their argument about why their determination should be upheld, and you can make your argument about why you think it should be otherwise. Okay, so all right. Well, you know what? Go ahead and make your closing. I'll have questions afterwards.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor. The city would just quickly to open with addressing the possibility of the owner relinquishing their rights without a dangerous dog classification for Lola. The city would not be agreeable to that for the fact that this is the second time that the dog has bit someone. First time that it's been pursued, only because we lacked a cooperative victim as a witness the time before and couldn't get any actual evidence aside from the information that I believe was given by the Department of Health. The evidence and testimony have shown today that Lola meets the definition of a dangerous dog, and that's as a dangerous dog is defined in both state law in 767.12 Florida statutes and 828 of the city code. The evidence has showed that Lola aggressively bit, attacked, and endangered, and inflicted a severe injury on the victim, Miss Claudio, on the events that took place March 31st, 2019. You've heard testimony that Lola repeatedly attacked and aggressively bit the victim multiple times until the victim was able to get herself away and out of the situation. And the result of those multiple bites was that there were several lacerations, some of which required sutures, and the testimony and evidence supports that. The evidence also shows that Lola was unprovoked. The victim was conducting herself lawfully and peacefully, coming up the driveway to deliver a package, as is pretty standard operations for mail and package delivery. You've heard testimony that there was no sign from the victim, and you've heard conflicting testimony from the owner that he says that he did have a sign up. There's no actual evidence of the sign being up, and regardless of whether there was a sign up or not, you've heard about an aggressive dog attacking somebody merely coming up their driveway. And it wasn't the first time this happened. You know, the city asserts that this is a dangerous dog that should be classified as such, and it should have the requirements as imposed in the city's initial determination, and this is in order to protect the public. The initial determination has requirements that start on page 3 of 8, and that's in exhibit 10, and the city stands by the fact that these are what the city finds reasonable in order to protect the public if they want to keep that dog, or if the dog does go to someone else to live, whether it's on a 50-acre place or anywhere else. The requirements have a purpose. We've seen this dog, two different instances, attack someone because it simply may be territorial. There were no defenses for this dog as are provided for by statute or by the city code, and it was unprovoked. The city would say that certainly the requirements that the city imposed by the initial determination are reasonable, and the protection of the public outweighs the owner's financial burdens or any other reason that they would have for not implementing these. I mean, the city has asked, well, it stated in its initial determination that the owners were required to get insurance in the amount of $100,000. You know, that's so if this happens again, somebody has some recourse for their medical bills other than just hoping that the owner might pay them back. And also it has specific ways laid out about how to confine Lola, and a lot of these are pretty easily implemented. Confine the dog in the house, you know, maybe put up a fence in the backyard if they were going to have her out back and didn't want to have her on a leash. An electric fence is not sufficient, whether it's in the front yard or the backyard. An electric fence is not going to prevent a kid from walking into the backyard and getting attacked. And certainly if this dog is territorial, a muzzle is something that's also not a financial burden, which is why that's one of the requirements that the city imposed. But what it all basically boils down to at this point, Your Honor, is that Lola does meet the dangerous dog definition. She caused a severe injury. She aggressively attacked somebody and bit them multiple times. And that's why the city classified her as a dangerous dog. While the city could, if it felt like it needed to, have put in the order to have the dog euthanized, it could have done that. But I just want to reiterate that we don't want the dog put down, but we do want the classification upheld, and we do want the requirements upheld as well.
So, question. One of the terms of the classification in the initial determination, I'm looking at, so it's under the order section of the initial determination, section 12, D, 12 subsection D, mm-hmm. subsection 5, Roman numeral 5. So if the owner advises the city that they're intending to give the dog away, basically like relinquishing ownership, and that ownership goes to another jurisdiction, to what extent does the determination or classification travel with the animal to another jurisdiction? Would it be that other jurisdiction's prerogative to then classify the animal as a dangerous dog, or is there some kind of state provision that says, well, once it's classified in one jurisdiction, it's similarly classified in another jurisdiction without hearing or, you know, what have you?
Well, Your Honor, I would argue that while the city has classified Lola as a dangerous dog under, yes, the city code, because it does have provisions that follow state law, that most importantly, it's following state law. It's a state law classification under Chapter 767. So while I would say that if You know, the city did classify the dog as a dangerous dog. We'll see what happens, you know, as a result of today. However, if the classification is upheld, the city would argue that state law would, you know, stick as far as that classification, no matter what jurisdiction, county in Florida it's in, that dog is a dangerous dog, and that...
Well, if the owner does relinquish ownership, then things like the rest of the terms of the order are, I mean, you can continue, those can continue to apply, but they wouldn't be enforceable because the owner quite simply doesn't have the dog anymore. So with regard to confinement and, you know, there's things I also noticed that, you know, terms of registration, you know, renewing the registration annually, things like that, it would be kind of... wouldn't be necessary any longer for example, just to take that one term, it wouldn't be necessary any longer for the owner to annually renew the registration of the animal as a dangerous dog with the city if they've relinquished ownership. And I imagine that the city, you know, in their prerogative may want to, you know, have some kind of proof or something like that, that ownership has indeed been relinquished. I mean, I think that's why the term is in here that says, hey, look, if you give the dog away, tell us where it's going, and then the city would probably call that person and say, okay, do you have that dog? But then once that's verified, then there's no longer a need for the rest of the terms. For example, like, you know, in creating structures, annually registering the dog as a dangerous dog every year, you know, things like that. Am I correct about all that?
Your Honor, I would state that as far as registration with the City of Palm Coast as a dangerous dog, you know, if the dog moves jurisdictions after this classification is made, you know, say the dog goes to Tallahassee, just by way of example, with Mr. Smith, the new owner. It's the city's argument that while the dog might not have to then annually register with the city because it's no longer in the city, that doesn't mean that this order goes away by any means. And we would argue that the other provisions would still need to be followed to some degree. I mean...
Well, they wouldn't be enforceable beyond city limits, would they? I mean, there's no way for the city to enforce an order on someone who's living in another jurisdiction. It'd have to be that other jurisdiction that takes up that cause.
Well, I think that the intent of this subsection, small Roman numeral 5, is that since there is a dangerous dog classification, if the owner is intending to sell or give away Lola, the owner gives the name and the location and everything of that person so the city can follow up with that jurisdiction and at least put them on notice. That dog has a dangerous dog classification, you know, and it was ordered in accordance with the Florida statutes by the city. And then, you know, I don't know what the receiving jurisdiction, I can't imagine what they would necessarily do.
They may do nothing, or they may do something, and then it's up to the new owner to, let's say the new jurisdiction just says, oh, okay, well, by operation of the City of Palm Coast's findings and determination, this other jurisdiction just says, okay, now you're classified as a dangerous dog without a hearing or what have you, then that new owner would have to contest that determination, saying that the new jurisdiction is not following law or what have you. I'm kind of, you know, thinking this through to its logical conclusion.
I would say that the city's position would be that the dog owner, the new one, you know, should be comporting with this order no matter which jurisdiction they're in. The owner, you know, they haven't a chance to appeal within 30 days, and that's provided for by the Florida statutes and by the city code of this decision, and the city would not be of the argument that that it simply dissipates if they're moved. I mean, I do understand that certain things as registering with the city isn't going to be practical if the dog doesn't necessarily live in the city anymore. I don't know that the city would look to enforce something that's not here anymore.
Right.
But the obligation, or not the obligation, but the intent of the city in having that notification if the owner is going to sell or give away the dog is certainly to put other jurisdictions where the dog is going to be on notice, and certainly the hopes that that jurisdiction would follow up with it, because otherwise, how easy for someone just to move a dog that's dangerous to a different place, plop them down in an address in another city, and not be, if they're not abiding by this, or if the receiving jurisdiction isn't supporting it, there could just be dogs that go biting up and down the coast every time they're moved without any kind of requirements.
Oh, sure, yeah. No, I do understand that part of it. It's just going to be up to that other jurisdiction how they want to handle it. And the vast majority of the terms of the order are if the owner relinquishes ownership to someone else, then it's they can't comply with the order because they just don't have the dog anymore. So they'd have to ask the city for some kind of relief at that point. Okay, thank you. All right, Mr. Wilson, Ms. Carew, do you have anything that you want to say? Okay, so you don't want to make a closing argument or anything like that? Yeah, go ahead, please. Yes. Again, Mr. Wilson, I'm not trying to, force you to speak. I just want to make sure you have plenty of opportunity to say what you want to say.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, my name is Richard again. I'm the owner of Lola. I live at 13 Saline Place. All I want to say is, Lola's been a sweet dog. We've had her ever since she was a little puppy. We're trying to just do whatever we can. Obviously, we're not rich people or anything like that. I've already just spoke to my insurance company. They're going to, drop us, I'm sure, because, of other things that I'm not going to bring up here. I've tried to contact other insurance companies to get insurance for deeming a dog dangerous. Nobody will take that case so far. I haven't found anybody that would. So, our only possibility is to either get rid of the dog. I really don't want to get rid of a dog that's kind of did her duty. I understand it wasn't the correct person that she did her duty to. But I just, and I'm sorry for that. And I, our deepest gratitude goes out to you and your family. I'm sorry that it did happen. But we want to try to make this right as possible. We just either, get rid of the dog, which we really don't want to do. But deeming her dangerous is going to put us in a financial obligation that we're probably not going to be able to handle. So I think that's our next option, or, I think that's all we can do. I think that's all I got to say.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so for case number 2019-04-0079, City of Palm Coast versus Richard Wilson and Ashley Carew, 13 Saline Place, allegation of violation of Palm Coast Section 8-40, classification of animal as dangerous, regarding Lola, a hound dog. There's very little that's in dispute here. So starting from the beginning, there's no dispute that Mr. Wilson and Ms. Carew, that you own Lola. Okay, there's no dispute about that. And I'm taking the testimony and the testimony exhibits as a whole, so I'm not pointing to specifics. When I write my order, I will point to specifics, but there's no dispute that that you own Lola, that you reside at 13 Saline Place, that you're within the City of Palm Coast limits, things, the basic stuff, so none of that stuff is in dispute. There doesn't seem to be a dispute including that this is a second bite, that the first bite happened to another parcel carrier earlier in March of 2019, and then a couple weeks later another bite happens to Ms. Claudio, who provided testimony that was also undisputed. So it's not as if there's a dispute that she really wasn't bitten, or it was a different dog, or it was a different address, or anything like that. So the basics here are undisputed. And the code sets out, you know, the definition of a dangerous dog as one that has aggressively bitten, attacked, or endangered, or has inflicted severe injury on a human being on public or private property. The defenses were laid out by the city. I didn't see any evidence that Ms. Claudio was on the property, you know, unlawfully in any way. There's no dispute. It's undisputed that she was on the property lawfully, that she was conducting herself in a lawful manner, that there was nothing that she, there was also no dispute that, or no evidence, actually, I should say, that there was no evidence that she did anything to provoke the dog into biting her. The only thing that there was a dispute about is the warning sign. Having reviewed the code and the statute, that doesn't absolve, you know, having a warning sign doesn't necessarily absolve the classification of a dangerous dog. That might be a defense in another context, but, you know, that doesn't absolve the dog of being a dangerous dog, or at least meeting that definition. And so based on all the medical records and photographs, I mean, it's a severe injury and needed stitches. And based on the testimony as well, and also based on the testimony, that doesn't seem it's undisputed that this was not the first time. The determination and all the conditions, the city's initial determination dated April 18th, and all the conditions laid out in there appear to be reasonable. So I'm going to find that based on the testimony and the exhibits entered into evidence, that Lola does meet the definition of a dangerous dog. So, and that's based largely on the fact that based entirely on the fact that the vast majority of the facts that I heard today, the testimony, the photographs, everything, is just, there's no dispute about it. Okay, there's nothing. So really what it comes down to is the consequence of, so Lola meets the definition of a dangerous dog, but I understand why you don't want her to be defined as a dangerous dog. That's not for me to consider, but there might be some things in the determination in my final order that may help based on what you have represented to me, Mr. Wilson and Ms. Corot. The initial determination contains all these conditions about registration, renewal, keeping Lola securely confined in the residence, and if she's outside, creating a pen, things like that. So I'm not going to go through every single detail, but I have read them and they seem reasonable in terms of ensuring that Lola stay confined and does not pose a danger to anybody else. There is a section in there that talks about, it states the prior to Lola being sold or given away, the owner shall provide name, address, and telephone number of the proposed new owner to the animal control officer. So, as you heard, Mr. Wilson and Ms. Corot, the intention behind that is that if you relinquish ownership, that the city can advise whoever else it is that, hey, we've determined that they're a dangerous dog. What that other jurisdiction decides to do is entirely up to them. The person that you were talking about, the dog breeder, I imagine because they're a dog breeder, I'm going off of your representations, okay? So I don't know who this person is. I imagine that dog breeder is familiar with laws of this type, and if that dog breeder is, in a sense, saddled with this determination about Lola, then he or she, CW, I mean, if it's a he should know what to do. The big question will be is if you relinquish ownership, then you'll have to work out with the city, hey, you know, that registration, do I have to, I don't own the dog anymore, and here's who I gave it to, and the city verified that. So all these terms about building a pen, and it's no longer applicable. Do you understand what I'm saying? So with that might be a conversation you need to have with your insurance company. They may want some kind of proof or something that you've relinquished ownership. So I'm going to add that. I'm going to take you up on that. I'm going to order. So if you read the, if you've read the determination is the initial determination says that within 14 days after issuance of the final order. So when I sent when within 14 days basically of today, you have to do all of these things. You have to obtain a certificate of registration of Lola as a dangerous dog, that you have to renew the certificate annually, and then you have to keep up with rabies vaccinations and all of the stuff that was in that initial determination, which I hope you've read. I'm going to add in there that a provision that says, well, if you intend to relinquish ownership, you must do so by June 17th, which is Monday. Okay? So if you intend to, you know, if your intention, as you stated to me, was to relinquish ownership rather than dealing with your homeowner's insurance and dealing with all of this stuff, then go ahead and do that. You have till June 17th. Otherwise, you have to comply with all of this stuff. And I'll write the order that makes it clear. So... And then the term in here is that if you do actually relinquish ownership, then obviously you have to tell the city. And I'll put that in the order too. That you so you have until June 17th to do that, and you have to tell the city name, address, telephone number of that person that you gave the dog to, that you gave Lola to. So that way they can follow up and verify and do all of that. Okay? Because if you do that, then like you said, it might solve a lot of problems for you, not only with insurance, but things, the terms of this order. So, but my order will include all these terms because it, you know, A, she meets the definition, Lola meets the definition of dangerous dog, and B, all of these conditions are reasonable. I find them reasonable in terms of, confining them her at the residence and building a pen and things like that. So if you don't give her away, then you have to comply with all of this stuff. Okay. All right, so order. Thank you. Is there any I see none no unfinished business. Is that the case? Okay, thank you. Is there any old business? No? Okay. Any new business? Okay, no. All right, so the next animal control license hearings will be held on August 6, 2019 at 10 a.m. at this location. Until then, we stand adjourned. Thank you.